This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in Sports, brought to you by your This Week in the NFL crew. I'm your co-host, the Cowboy. It's been a while, been a couple months here. Joined by the real brains of the operation, John D'Amato. What's happening, John?
Cowboy, a long time no speak on this level. I guess 3 months later, congratulations on another a Boston championship. They happen like every other week now.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Yes. It was a very boring, shitty Super Bowl. But I guess that's good for you guys, because that's the only thing that anybody could come out and criticize about it, was that the game was so lame and everything. It's like everybody's just so beaten down. They can't like say, oh, the Patriots, cheat and this and that. They just have to say, oh, that was a lousy. That was the only thing that they could get on you guys, was that the game was so bad.
I know. The game was not a work of art, but it was another victory. The Patriots defense played real good, and the offense did just enough. So, hey, I'll take what I can get. There was no. It was very exciting as a Pats fan to watch. I mean, the way the game went, I felt like, the whole game, I felt like we're going to hold these guys to 10 yards of offense. Then they're going to hit one big play to Brandon Cooks, and the game's going to be tied. So,
only because the way the Rams got lucky in the championship game, not got lucky, but got that referee's break. I think there would have been a more of an outcry when I think it was we're going back like 3 months now. The memory's a little foggy now, but I think at 6-3, the Rams got like a real questionable holding call that really stopped their drive, which that would have been there would have been more of an outcry. But everybody was like, fuck it, the Rams, they got
well
their
deserved
break, so.
Well deserved. Yeah, they you can make the argument that they maybe shouldn't have even been there. So
the way that quarterback played, it was nobody's feeling sorry for them.
Yeah, but we wanted, so it's a little Super Bowl talk there, but like John said, we haven't been on the airwaves here in a while, a few months. Little life getting in the way. Apologize to our loyal fan base, but we're back, baby. We're back now. So what we wanted to do tonight was, spend a little time talking about the NFL offseason and some of the moves. There've been quite a few moves since we had our last show, and then give you guys a little baseball. I'm sorry, NBA playoff preview, and then we'll see what happens. If there's time left, maybe we'll even talk a little baseball. What do you say, John?
Definitely. I'll at least sneak a couple minutes in. Not 6 hours worth, but we'll at least keep a couple of minutes in. But yeah. You said NFL offseason. Did anything happen?
Me as a Giant fan,
did anything happen with the Giants?
Yeah, so that's what's kind of one of the first things I wanted to talk about. Giants making a big trade. Trading Odell Beckham Jr. over to Cleveland for Jabril Peppers and some picks. Personally, not a big fan of this deal. Wide receiver, premium position. He's a great player. Top five wide receiver. A little bit of a diva, but he seems like he really, kind of goes out there and gives a shit. And what great wide receiver doesn't have a little bit of an attitude, right? I don't know what they were thinking here, John. What do you, any rationale behind this, or just ready, fire, aim sort of deal?
Well, that's the typical response from the non-Giant fans, that this was the shittiest trade of all time, and Gettleman is the laughingstock of the league and should be fired immediately. But I'm actually approving of the deal, because Mr. Beckham is just too many problems, and the problems aren't worth it when you only win 8 games in 2 years, and he's always a source of headlines in the wrong way. So if they could lose with him, they said he's not worth the headache, and we'll just wind up losing without him. They got a nice couple a 6th and a 17th. They got two picks. They got a better deal than the Steelers did for Antonio Brown. So at this point, he just wasn't worth the headaches. He's a selfish player. And also, he's proved to be brittle the last couple of years, where he's had a lot of injuries and hasn't been able to stay on the field. And also, this whole year, there was just it seemed like every week there was speculation. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? So he has to toughen up and become a little more durable if he wants to be a success and to be one of the top receivers. So I'm actually pleased with the deal. Anybody, it seems like any Giant fan over 30 is not pleased with it, and also anybody who's not a Giant fan is treating it like the Giants right now, the laughingstock of the league. And until they draft better and come up with a better team, then they'll remain the laughingstock of the league. But that's okay. At least it'll be a lot less quieted, because there was a situation when in one of the last games he played, he had left the field with about 2 minutes left. And of course, all the reporters, Fox, Aaron Andrews, guy, Odell Beckham's going to the locker room, with an undisclosed injury. And they found out that he went for an IV because he was dehydrated. And then they asked why, and they asked him after the game, and he said, "Well, I don't really like the taste of water." And, when if you're paying a guy, whatever, $15, $20 million and the guy can't hydrate himself, I mean, that's something that you deal with your nephew. You have to make sure that he drinks a Gatorade or something before his jiu-jitsu class. You know, that's something you treat your son or your nephew, but not somebody you pay $15, $20 million and you have to worry about whether he likes the taste of water or not. That's it got to be a little ridiculous. I think at that point, that was when Mr. Marin, the Giants brass, said, okay, bye Felicia on this guy.
That's an interesting take, John. I don't unexpected. I thought that you would be. excuse me. I thought you'd be against the trade. So I don't think it's the worst trade of all time. I mean, they at least got a pretty good haul for him, like you said. Tough to trade. Tough to get real value in trades in the NFL. I'm sorry, fans. I don't know what's going on here. Throat's closing up on me. One second.
No problem, Kyle. But I'll take it from there. At least another good thing the Giants did that I approve of is the where they pieced out on Landon Collins and to pay a safety over $10 or $12 million a year. That's another thing. When you're a losing team, that's wasting money to pay a safety that
completely
much.
So Washington
took the heat on that. So they did get a. They got a nice Peppers, which is not Corsi, which who's might be not as dominant as a Landon Collins, but it's in the same range as a Collins.
Yeah,
as far
Collins
as quality
move
safety.
Makes sense. The Beckham move for me is like, even if you're in a rebuild, like he's still young, so he's young and a great receiver, and I know he's got some of the diva receiver stuff going on, but it's just so tough. It's such a tough position to find a guy like that I wouldn't have made the deal. I would have tried to work it out with him, and he's a piece that I would try to build around. But if you were going to trade him, at least they got a good haul for him. It's not the Raiders trading Randy Moss for a fourth round pick or whatever they traded him for. I believe it was a fourth round pick, so we'll see. We'll see. The Giants will have to execute at the draft. They'll have to execute on those picks, which is, they did well last year with Saquon, and we'll see if they can get a couple of studs. Who knows?
Yeah.
The word is they're not taking a quarterback. You think that's all bullshit, or you think they're really going to not take a quarterback again?
Yeah, I can't. There's no use for speculating. We're just going to have to wait till the 25th, because right now they're keeping things very close under the vest. Last year they made it obvious that they were taking Saquon no matter what. This year they're being very vague. They even had people scouting Kyler Murray. They're doing their due diligence, at least. They've had people scouting everybody, Haskins, but they're definitely not letting anybody know what their plans are and who they like. It's going to be one of those situations where we're not going to find out to the 25th. So
yeah,
speculation and all that. Giant fans are going crazy on Twitter. There's actually wild speculation that Mrs. Russell Wilson, but also known as Sierra, wants to move to New York, and so they're currently clearing the decks for that. So that's just something. There's all craziness out there. We're not going to find out to the 25th. So we just have to kick back and wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, last year was just you. It was almost like it was too obvious. Like maybe they were trying to blow smoke with Saquon, but that ended up not being the case. I know they were tied to Haskins early, but from what I'm hearing and what you can read is Haskins has maybe even fallen behind Jones on a lot of folks' radars, and it's maybe going to be the fourth QB to go now behind Murray, Locke, and Jones. So very interesting. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. That's my prediction.
Yeah,
I think they're going to take either like Montez Sweat if he's there, or Ed Oliver. I think that's where they're going to go.
And also because next year you got Tua and others coming out, so and then the year after that there's Lawrence, so it's not like you only get one chance to draft a quarterback. So
I'm kind of surprised they haven't been tied at all to Rosen. It looks like the Redskins are, the Redskins are the leaders in the clubhouse there. But Rosen to me would make a lot of sense for them.
I think they tried to get for that. They tried to get Arizona to go for that second rounder. If they will, they or that number 17 pick, but nothing higher than that. But once again, it's all speculation, and they're keeping things quiet.
Yep. All right. So we'll see what happens there. So the team Odell got traded to, lots of moves. So Cleveland is looking to. Really, they're doing the Chiefs-Rams deal, right, where they have the good quarterback on the rookie deal, and they're just surrounding them with as much talent as possible. Worked really well for both the Chiefs and the Rams this last year. So now that offense in Cleveland, you have Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, best of friends. So I think that played into it too, and that they think that, the two of those guys together, there probably won't be any BS. So Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Antonio Callaway, and then running back, it's Nick Chubb, and they signed Kareem Hunt. I don't really agree with the Kareem Hunt signing. I'm not sure why they did it. He's going to be out for the first 8 games, and frankly, I think Chubb might just be straight up better after what I saw Damian Williams do in that Kansas City offense. But Cleveland's kind of taking that's the thing to do, right? You go all in when you have the quarterback on the rookie deal. A lot of people talking about them as a Super Bowl contender, John. What do you think?
I met some at our WrestleMania tailgate. I had met some gentlemen from Cleveland Browns fans, and they were losing their minds. They are going bananas. They are elated, and God bless. I mean, if any fan base deserves it, it's them. But it's going to be interesting to see. You just can't get like an All-Stars and put it together. It may take a year or two to put it together. Plus, you got a first-year coach. But definitely what they reiterated is how the professionalism and the performance of Baker Mayfield, which is what it always comes to, what we always say, when you got the quarterback, you could find the rest of the pieces. It's a lot easier to get into contention when you get that quarterback position situated. So everything
and
will fall into place.
You're not paying him anything.
Right. So, but it's going to be interesting whether they could build up their a solid defense to go along with all the offensive weapons, and also whether Beckham will. I don't think Beckham will be the distraction that he was in New York. I think just from the start that they let him roam free and do whatever he wants, and nobody told him no. And I think now that he's going to learn that he's not perfect, and nobody's expendable. And I think he's going to go into Cleveland with a little bit of attitude and help that. Unfortunately, it took him to fuck up on my favorite team, but that's just being selfish. But I think he's going to get it together on his second team.
Yeah, and I mean, especially if they win, I think he is the kind of he at least strikes you as the type that the winning could possibly cure some of that stuff that he's got going on, because he's nothing if not competitive out there. It's not like he's a guy who's out there dogging it, right? It's just. I think being on a winning team will help him, and being with his buddy Jarvis will also help him. So we shall see there. So a couple of other big moves. Antonio Brown, you alluded to this earlier, John. Antonio Brown to the Raiders. I don't think anyone's like hurt their stock as like a person over a year period just through like social media and and all that stuff, all this stuff. I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown, but he went from a guy that you never heard a word about to, you know, forcing his way out of Pittsburgh, submarining, completely submarined his value. Like, if they would have traded him at the beginning of the season, they would have gotten probably 2 first-round picks for him, and they end up having to settle for next to nothing from Oakland. And even now, even after the trade, he's fighting with the Steelers on Twitter. He's calling out Juju Smith-Schuster for no reason. The guy seems to have, like, kind of gone over the edge or something. I feel like it may end up being like, you know how we feel about the Raiders here on this week in the NFL, that this could be once great player goes to the Raiders and completely flops. Like, that's what I see for him. Just flop city, doesn't work out. Maybe he can go resurrect himself somewhere else, but I think this is not going to work out. Not that I blame the Raiders for making the move. They didn't have to give up too much to get him, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening there.
There was I was amazed at the how guys from other teams really came out and then spoke out against him, because from what we see, it looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is one of the top. Teammates to have, and one of the all-around great guys, and that's why you saw a lot of guys on other teams came out and they said that they're going to be looking to get some hits on Antonio Brown, that he really took a cheap shot against a guy just because the guy was trying to fumbled in a big game going for extra yardage, and that's like a no-no when you do that. I mean, you could call guys out for not showing up to practice or missing a game and stuff like that. But for just calling out for a guy out for fumbling, just for trying to get extra yardage, and especially an exemplary player, which looks like Juju Smith-Schuster. He hasn't had any disciplinary issues. He's a quiet guy. He's a very popular player. And that's what that's what a lot of the guys they're trying to become. That they're trying to change the image of the league, that a lot of top players are assholes and stuff, which is kind of ruined the reputation of the NFL. And Schuster's one of those guys that's helping to change the image, like Schuster and Julio Jones and stuff like that. But then there's always unfortunately, the more attention we give to the Browns of the world that. Run their mouth and get more attention for stuff off the field and nonsense. So it's going to be interesting. But the Raiders got a bargain. Maybe if he stops the nonsense and gets it together, it could be a boost to the Raiders.
It can't hurt him, Yeah. But it just seems like a bad situation for Antonio. If he's they're not going to be good. I don't think they're going to be good. And he hasn't really had a lot of losing in his career. And
you see, some guys don't care. There was a lot of our mutual friend, Mr. Rosero, wanted the Jets to snatch up Antonio Brown. A lot of people don't care about attitude and all that. As long as if you could get a chance to get a great player, just get him, and they'll deal with the headaches later. So we'll see how it works out for the Raiders.
Yeah, Dink and Dunk Derek, I don't think is going to be great for him either. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Speaking of which, that's the other big signing, Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. In a contrast to Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, after that happened, Le'Veon Bell and James Conner had a nice little back and forth on Twitter, a lot of respect for each other, not being an asshole. Le'Veon Bell recently dropped a rap CD. If you haven't seen how Keenan Allen from the Chargers reacted to that, it was pretty funny. It was worth checking out. But I'll let you guys search that one out yourselves. But I really I like the move for the Jets. They have a ton of cap room. Same kind of situation. They have Darnold on the rookie deal. Surround him with what you can. And Le'Veon Bell, certainly a great player. They probably overpaid him for his position, but is what it is. He sat out the whole year and ended up not making any more money than he would have. But I think in his mind, it's still a positive, because he knew the Steelers were just going to run him into the ground. And he seems genuinely happy to be in New York. And it's a nice weapon for a, you know, for a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. So I think it immediately makes their team better. And he seems to be a, you know, less of a head case than Brown. What did you think of the move for the Jets?
Oh, that was a slam dunk. That's obviously a terrific move. They got Buku cap money, and nowadays they've raised the cap so much that it's really it's really not even an issue anymore. Especially a team with so much money under the cap that the Jets. But Le'Veon Bell, excellent on the field, but not exactly a financial wizard. He turned down 70, at least 70 from the Steelers, and he wound up taking. What was it guaranteed? About 44?
45, or, right?
Yeah, 45. Yeah. So obviously, he it wasn't a good move financially, but maybe the year off, he'll recharge his batteries and he'll get back to being one of the top three running back. And there's another team. Right now, Jet fans are losing their minds along with the Cleveland fans. It looks like we might as well just call it right now. Jets and Cleveland in the championship game.
I highly doubt that. But for the Jets, it comes down to Darnold. I mean, Baker was better, quite a bit better. But Baker's also a little bit older, right? So Darnold, they need to see a nice jump from Darnold this year, right? Where he went, you know, he was below average last year. Good young, you know, saw some skills there, but he was below average quarterback. If he can be competent for them and make a nice second year jump, he's got a ton of physical talent, right? He's got all the tools. Then they could, in theory, contend for a playoff spot. But I think it really, really depends on him. Cleveland would be disappointed, I think, not going 10-6 or 11-5, which is crazy to say, but that's the world we're living in.
Yeah, with the Jets, of course, they have the elephant in the room, which is the Patriots. So they have their expectations are always going to be a little lower until the Mr. Brady and Mr. Belichick decide to move on with their careers.
You know what? That's why there's wild cards, John.
Yeah, but with, you know, going back to Darnold, I think you're a little, you don't give him enough credit though. He's for a quarterback, he's a 21, 22.
Oh, he's a kid.
A quarterback's
Absolutely.
Never played that young. Usually quarterbacks sit for 4 or 5 years and don't play till 25, 26. So for him to did what he did at 21, 22, very, very impressive. Very impressive. I got nothing but good things to say. But as far as the Jets, they still have a lot of other holes to clean up. They got Mosley for their defense, but they didn't really boost their offensive line too much, and they still got to come up with somebody like a dominant force on the defense to get to the quarterback. So they still have some issues.
Well, they have a nice teams. High pick that they can do that with if they want to. There's going to be some pass rushers there at 3.
Yep.
And I wasn't disparaging Darnold. All I was saying was that, you know, given the choice to start with him or Baker, I think every team in the league would start with Baker right now, right? I think even the Jets would.
Oh, sure. All you got to do is look at the amount of wins. I mean,
right, and the numbers. I mean, just being Baker, yeah. But he's older, so he's a little more polished. That's all I was saying is Darnold was a little raw last year, and for them to truly contend, he needs to be better. And he should be better because, to your point, he's just a baby, right? And we know.
Yeah.
How those
plus,
guys grow.
plus they got a new coach who's offensive minded, not a. And last year they had a defensive coach, and he was left in the hands of the offensive coordinator. So this year with Gase, he should improve.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So anything else? Anything else you wanted to talk about with regards to the NFL, John, or should we move on?
No, let's move on, please.
Right. So before we move on, I want to tell you about some other stuff we have going on here at the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. We had a busy week on the Pop Feed with a little something for everyone. First, Stephen Keller, you're joined by Jason Sherman on the newest Songs with Friends, and of course they talk about Jason's favorite band, Bush. Also, Greg and Nick are here with the new Long Book Hunters edition of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, and they're exploring Shazam, the Monster Society of Evil. Oh, and also check out their third anniversary special featuring Jim Ross. Andrew and Adam breaking down where the non-NBA playoff teams are headed in the newest NBA team podcast. And I'd imagine they'd follow that up with some type of NBA playoff spectacular as well. Andrew and Adam do a great job. It's a great show. If you don't listen to that, you should. The Marvel Age crew is here and moving into the first half of 1970. Right in your prime there, John. Jenny and Tim welcomed Glenn Butler to the hot seat for this month's Talking Pop. And last but not least, Geek and Sassy couldn't let award season come to an end without the second annual Sassies. So Joe, go check out what Jenny and Mirandy as fans had to say as they officially put a bow on 2018. Also, a new contest is being held over on Looking Forward, Looking Back. They'll be doing a summer movie wager based on how well you think you can predict how this summer's movie releases will do at the domestic box office. Everybody likes a good pool, good contest, right, John?
Definitely. I've been on a lot of road trips already, and the great podcasts on our network get me through and keep me awake. So coming.
What you need to do in that contest is pick the top 10 movies in order of how you think they will finish in domestic box office gross. So you start at Avengers and go down from there. You'll also need to include 3 wild card picks as well as which movie you think will be the biggest bomb of the summer. Send your picks to iflbpop@gmail.com by Monday, April 22nd. Any movie that's released on or after April 26th is eligible with the tally ending on Labor Day, September 2nd. The winner of the contest gets to be on a future episode of Laughing Theater and pick the comedy movie of their choosing. So that's what we have going on here on the Pop feed. Now, on to the NBA, Mr. D'Amato. NBA playoff time, baby. One of my favorite times of year is the first round of the NBA playoffs. Just as good, if not better, for me than March Madness. You in that same camp?
Roger, let me just get the selfish part over with. As a Knicks fan, I've been looking forward to the NBA playoffs. The only thing I've been looking forward to since September is May 14th, but I'm looking forward to the NBA play, at least the and especially the Eastern Conference. Let's just get this first round over with, and I want to get the Eastern Conference semifinals with where it's going to be Boston, Milwaukee, and it's going to be Toronto and Philly, and they're both going to be 7-game classics. And the winner of those two series are going to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's going to be another 7-game classic. And I'm going to be enjoying the hell out of it. Those four teams especially, they're all very equal. They have stars. There's a little of everything. And, yeah, other than May 14th, I'm looking forward to that.
So I guess that was going to be my first question is –
I'm sorry, Roger. Yeah, let's.
No, you don't be sorry, my friend. Even, I love the enthusiasm.
Let's not even. I don't even want to waste too much time. You know, going one by one. If not a sweep, all those the top four series will be either 4 or 5 games, including the 4-5, which should be the most competitive. But unfortunately, without Victor Oladipo, Boston's just going to roll on ND two.
That's. I hope you're right as a big Celtics fan. Of these series, I see the Indiana Boston one with the most potential for a 6 or 7 game series, just due to the way the Celtics. One, the Celtics aren't going to have Marcus Smart, which is a big deal for the Celtics. It's not as big as Victor Oladipo not playing, obviously, for the Pacers, but Marcus is a huge part of the Celtics, and he's really the heart and soul of the team. And not having him is tough. So the Celtics have had a very underachieving year. That a team like Indiana, who plays well as a team, who is, you know, maybe a little bit of overachievers, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, they're the kind of team that could beat the Celtics. So it would not surprise me at all if this goes 6 or 7. The other series. Completely agree with you. Toronto will whack Orlando, and Milwaukee will really, really whack Detroit. I could see the Nets giving the Sixers a little bit of trouble. The Nets are I actually like that Nets team, and D'Angelo Russell, for those for those who wrote him off after he left the Lakers, has been been like basically all all NBA type performer all year, great in the clutch, and they could give the Sixers some trouble, but you're most likely correct there. And I mean, I very very tough to pick against any of those four teams, but if there is going to be an upset, it's probably going to be the Pacers beating the Celtics.
Also, a good yeah, good point on Brooklyn, though, because especially I saw today that Embiid might be out for game one.
I mean, that's so, huge, right? I
yeah,
mean, that's,
yeah, yeah.
They're
that
not
might
the
get
same
Brooklyn.
Team
That might get
without
Brooklyn
him.
To 6 or 7, sure.
Well, and the other thing about Philly is in the playoffs, and you saw this with Rondo when he played for the Celtics. The Ben Simmons is a great player, but his complete inability to shoot, it hurts them in the playoffs. The Celtics did it to him last year. Like, if you have a guy that's not, you know, your big burly center, who you literally can just leave open from 15 feet and just, you know, you can play 15 feet off the guy, it really tends to bog down the offense in the playoffs. And like that Sixers team from a talent perspective should have swept the Celtics last year without Irving and Hayward. But obviously we know what happened. It was almost a sweep the other way. So, and a lot of that was Simmons just inability to shoot. Like I said, when the Celtics had Rondo, when the Celtics won the title with the KG team, what a lot of folks don't remember is for big stretches of that series against the Lakers, the Celtics were playing Eddie House and sitting Rondo just because the Lakers were just playing off Rondo and it screwed up the whole offense. So I'm sure the Nets are going to do that, and Philly-Toronto in round two is a crazy series when it happens.
Yeah, but I have to dispute you a little, Roger, because this is a way different Philly team. They got Jimmy Butler, and they also have a hell of a bench. They got Boban coming off the bench.
Oh yeah,
and an under the radar player, Mike Scott, who's very scrappy, but he's got a killer three. He's got a sweet 3-pointer. Like last year, he's a lot. He's a better version of Covington last year. Yeah. Boston.
They have
Covington
Tobias Harris too, which is a pretty big deal.
Yes. Tobias Harris is a solid. He's going to get you 16-20 every game. He's been doing that for about 4 or 5 years. He's steady. He gets you 16-20 no matter what. But like last year, to your point, they had Simmons to shoot. They also had Covington, who couldn't hit anything last year. Who's a great, not a great, but a scrappy. You know, gritty player, but I think they got a better version of Covington and Mike Scott. He does a lot of the same things, and he's got a nice 3-point stroke.
They're loaded
on
paper.
So they're way better. Yeah, they're way better than last year's team.
On paper, they're absolutely loaded, no question about it. Butler scares me a little in the playoffs too because he's such a head case. But Harris is a very. I mean, I liked that move for them. And apparently they want to keep those four guys together. Those are four basically max guys, right? Embiid, Harris, Simmons, and Butler. And they say they want to keep them together for the long term. So it'll be really interesting to see how that looks in their first playoff series.
Yeah, they could do it. They could do it. You know, let's not forget about, you know, Redick. They got guys that can hit the three.
Oh,
they can
hit
you on the inside and the outside. Like I said, Boban off the bench is definitely a quality big man, and JoJo's going to be a year better. I think last year Embiid was just kind of satisfied to win the series and talking crap to like idiots like Hassan Whiteside and stuff like that, but now I think he's taking that next level where he really wants to be a top five player and
he's a great player.
Team to a championship. He is. He's gotten a lot more mature. He's cutting down on, you know, the Twitter nonsense and stuff, and he's really stepped his game up, and he's prepared to take Philly to the next level. And if we go a little further, that's going to be my finals pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of Toronto is tough, man. That's a tough game.
That's another improved.
That's
totally
a tough
different team
for them to play. Yeah, the way they match up to them.
Totally different than that. That's another thing. Not to, everybody's going to sleep on Toronto because they're thinking about the old Raptors that choked and everything. But
they have Kawhi Leonard.
they broke up the DeRozan Lowry you know mess that couldn't get past LeBron, and it's not that team anymore. No way. Not only Kawhi, but
and
also
Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam, thank you, is going to be a player that nobody heard of that you will hear of once you watch a couple Toronto playoff games.
He's phenomenal. And, I mean, he's
yes.
What an impressive. I mean, he went from essentially a nobody. To this, like when Kawhi sits, it's like they don't even miss a beat.
Yes, because probably when most probably win most improved player. And also, you got Ibaka, who I love. He just does all the dirty work, defense, rebounds, gets every loose ball.
He makes threes, too.
I love him. Yeah, I love Ibaka. I love the way he plays. And
they end Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
They traded for Marc Gasol, who's a guy who that's a playoff guy right there. And they have Danny Green, too, another guy with a bunch of playoff experience. Yeah.
Van Vliet off the bench is also impressive. Yeah, this is a deep team and well coached for a first year coach, a Nurse. So like I said to open, that's going to be all seven game wars once it gets down to the semis. But I like Philly to squeak through Toronto and man, if Marcus was there, I was originally going to go with Boston to get past, and you know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but because Marcus is would be a key to be guarding Giannis a lot to get past Milwaukee in the second round.
This Celtics team's not. I mean, unless something changes, like where they flip a switch for the playoffs, there's no way they beat the Bucks. No way. Nah, even with Smart, no way.
Really? Nah. I think they are going to flip the switch, especially Kyrie.
We'll see. I mean, the Bucks are really, really, really good. Really, really, really. And I think a lot of people are going to undersell them. But to me, they should be like a clear favorite to come out of the East. Like, I can see your point with Philly, and I could see Toronto. But, I mean, the Bucks have been the best team in the NBA this year, right? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And for my money, Giannis is the best player in the NBA. I know he's probably not going to win MVP, but he is just unstoppable. I mean, he's just such a force, just a physical force.
You're going with Harden? I think it should be Giannis.
I think Harden's going to win it, though, just the numbers. I mean, and Harden's had a great, great year. I'm not underselling him. But, you know, if you look what's around Giannis and look at their record, it's a pretty impressive season. And if you just watch the guy on a night in, night out basis, it's incredible. I mean, he averages 28-12, 6, and it's like he still isn't fully developed as a player. Yeah. Like, it looks like he can still get better.
A coach, Budenholzer, really took him to the next level. He's a really great coach that got out of the situation in Atlanta and came here to an ideal situation. And he's got them. They're a great inside outside team. It's a lot of 3-pointers. He encourages Brooke Lopez to shoot a lot of 3-pointers.
He should. Brooke Lopez can really shoot. And Middleton is another very good shooter. They're without Brogdon, right, for at least the first round. But that should not impact them against. I mean, Detroit's not very good, so I don't.
Yeah. Oh no! Like I said, yeah. Let's not even waste the time talking about a lot of these first round matches. But they're another deep team. Guys off the bench like Ayla Sova, who can score, do a lot of things. You know, big guys who can shoot. They're the top four in the East. You could pick anybody, but and just watch these games. They're gonna be incredible games. I've seen the last couple Bucks Sixers games have been terrific. The Raptors Bucks games have been terrific. Raptors Sixers, whatever matchups you get, it's just going to be very entertaining basketball.
Oh, I love the NBA playoffs. I'll tell you, on Saturday, we're going to have the double TV set up at night with the UFC 236 on one screen, and then Clippers Warriors and Spurs Nuggets on the other. It doesn't get much better than that, my friend.
Unfortunately, the Warriors. Usually their games I turn off once they get up a good 25 burger in the second quarter. That's when I look for other forms of entertainment.
So, it's a good segue. The West, not top heavy like the East. I mean, there's the eight teams who made the playoffs in the West are all very, very good teams.
No, you know? Definitely not. As another spoiler, I got at least one. I'll go with two. I'll go with two of the lower seeds. I'll go with the Spurs over the Nuggets, and I'll go with the Thunder over the Blazers.
I knew you were going to say Thunder Blazers.
Yeah.
And
the Nuggets, I didn't like.
I really disagree with Spurs over the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are a good team, man.
I don't like how they. I don't like how they play. I've watched the games versus Golden State. Not even competitive for a half a quarter. That's number one I don't like. And also, I don't like how they. they manipulated the Blazers into the third seed. I don't like that pussy shit where they played the Blazers in one of the games, in one of these last games, and they sat all their guys and they laid down so they could have the Blazers get the third seed, so they could avoid Golden State in the until the semis, which they're not going to get to. I don't like that kind of mentality. And plus, they really don't have the experience. Although I love Jokic.
He's an incredible player. Terrific. As far as his passing for a big guy is incredible, and they're very deep. I mean, they have Jokic, and then they have a bunch of good shooters.
Harris. Yeah, Harris is.
Will Barton, and
they're going to fall short in experience.
Jamal Murray, and then Millsap is obviously a very good player. The Spurs have that pedigree, and they're capable, but I think the Nuggets are going to work them over. I just don't think the Spurs have the talent, unfortunately, to keep up with the Nuggets. I think the Spurs are essentially a two-man team, and those two guys, if Greg Popovich wasn't the coach, this isn't really a playoff team in the West.
Yeah, I think Pop's going to work some magic with some of his misfits like Bryn Forbes and guys that you never heard of, but... I just like the experience, and plus Aldridge and DeRozan have some experience.
Correct, they do. Not the greatest experience
The most intriguing though will be that Blazers Thunder. The Blazers are going to miss
Nurkic.
Nurkic, yes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are picking the Thunder because of that. The one thing to watch with the Thunder is, like, I mean, they for a while they looked like they could challenge the Warriors, right? I mean, they were, you know, Paul George was, you know, pretty much the consensus number three for MVP for a while, and they were playing phenomenal. But there's something up with George. Like, he has not, over the last few weeks, hasn't been the same guy, and there's whispers that he's hurt, and so it's a shoulder injury. So If he's not 100% and it's just the Russell Westbrook show, we see how that turns out in the playoffs. So I'm gonna have to disagree with you again.
45 shots, yeah, they're
again. But it's possible that they were just to easing off the gas with George later in the year, and that he'll come back. You know, just the rest will do him good, and he'll be good to go. But if he is, they should win the series because they're better. They're really better than the sixth seed, but.
They're not as deep, but with all the days off and everything, they could run, and if they're healthy, they could run George and Westbrook 40, 45 minutes, and when those two are at the top of the game, you're talking about, you know, arguably two of the top five players in the league. So I think the playoffs are suited for them with the days off and everything. It's not like in the regular season where you got to go back to back and all that. So although they're really lacking in depth, I mean, after those two, you got Adams does all the dirty work, and pretty much the only one else that could score is like Schrader. That's about it. So most of the time, it's going to be just a two-man show. But the Blazers are really going to miss Nurkic, and I've watched a lot of Enes Kanter with the Knicks, and he gets a double double within 5 minutes. But unfortunately, the guy couldn't defend the pick and roll. If it was me and you running it on Flanagan Court, the guy's lost defensively and
very bad defensively.
He's going to hurt them. So I'm sticking with the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the Blazers, it was last year, right, that were they the three? They were the two or the three, and got swept, right, by the
Jazz,
the Pelicans.
Oh, the Pelicans.
Was it the Pelicans?
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Pelicans. But either way, I think they're going to come in hungry, and you don't want to be like the high seed losing 2 years in a row. But I absolutely see. I mean, the series to me really is a coin flip, so I absolutely can see picking the Thunder. The other series are interesting too, in my opinion. I mean, I think we have a good idea who we think's going to win those series, but the Clippers have been a good spunky team all year. Doc Rivers has done an incredible job.
That's a bad draw. Yeah, that's a bad draw, though.
And if they were playing anyone else, I would give them a reasonable chance to make it interesting. But it wouldn't surprise me to see them take a game or two from the Warriors.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. But I did like watching them during the regular season. I love how they're. they just keep the game. They just try to stay in the game, and then all of a sudden, with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter, they bring in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, and the game just turns around. Lou Williams could score from anywhere. Montrezl Harrell, he just every rebound, dunks, rebounds, loose balls, block shots. He's my kind of player to watch, and they just take over the game. To two great bench guys, but Bristol Warriors, it's a different story. It's not good. It's going to be a sweep job, but there's a lot of good things. If you're a Clipper fan, you should be very optimistic about the future, because Kawhi Leonard will probably be heading over there, and definitely. And they also made a good deal to get they robbed the it's ironically they robbed the Lakers. They got a Zubac, who was going to be an impressive player, and they robbed the Lakers. They got Zubac from Mike Muscala.
Oh, I know. That's we haven't talked about Magic, but that's going to down as a that's like an under the radar deal that not a lot of people will talk about. But that was like one of the stupider things of in NBA moves in the last like 5 years. I mean, there's no reason for it. That kid, like, you know how tough it is to find like a center who might actually be decent. That kid always did well with limited minutes. And I guess they just wanted somebody who could shoot a little. I mean, Mike Muscala is a bum, just a straight up bum. Anyway, awful.
The Clippers got a lot of a nice young talent. Gilgeous Alexander, and they made that deal with the Sixers. Shamet is a good looking player.
Oh, he can shoot. He can.
Yeah.
He can really
shoot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in the next couple of years, we'll be talking a lot about them. But unfortunately, they're gonna have to take their lumps. I don't even see that. I don't see them winning one game, but I would like to.
Then Houston, Utah. Everybody and their brothers picking Houston, which makes sense. I mean, they've had a heck of a year. Harden's incredible. The D'Antoni system. The Jazz are a good team, and they are the kind of team that you would think would be kryptonite a little bit for Houston. Good defensive team, a little bit of a slower pace. They got a guy in Donovan Mitchell who maybe. He's not Harden, but he can do an impression on some nights.
Well so, coached too. Well coached.
Very well coached. Both teams very well coached.
Much like the Clippers, I really like them in the future. But this is a tough draw. I think it's a lot to ask. Houston's kind of been lying in the weeds I think Paul's going to rent once again. Like I said, with the guys on the Thunder, Paul's it's going to help him that with the days off and the playoff system, and he's going to be able to ramp it up. And I think it's a tough matchup for the Jazz, but hopefully I'm wrong, because I really like them as a team. They're well coached. I like the French Rejection, Rudy Gobert. But
Grayson Allen put up 40.
Oh, 40! Yeah, I love those. I love some of those box scores in that last game, especially that. They just happened to catch. Unfortunately, it turned out to be Jaeger's last game, where Portland just played like only six guys.
And I know Anthony Simons had 37.
He scored as many. Yeah, and he only had 38 points in his whole career. That was there was some kind of box scores those last garbage games. But I like you. Another one of my favorite players is Capella for Houston. I just love how he does it all. Just block shots, rebounds, every loose ball.
He runs the master of the pick and roll. He's an underrated player because he's not your traditional. You know, he's not out there knocking down jump shots, but he does all the little things. And how many easy baskets he gets just by outrunning his guy down the court.
That's what I'm hoping my boy Mitchell Robinson turns into.
Gobert is kind of similar, right? So him and versus Gobert, they could kind of cancel each other out a little bit. Mitchell Robinson, he's a block machine, baby. The guy only does is block shots.
That's what I'm hoping he models his career after of a Capella type.
There you go. And then, he'll fit well when you have Kyrie and KD next year. So I was in an Uber over WrestleMania weekend, started talking basketball with the Uber driver, and I told him, I think it's happening. I think you get them both. That's as a Celtics fan.
Unfortunately, it's going to be more Kemba Walker and something else. And we'll probably wind up with either the second or third, which I wouldn't mind Ja Morant. I wouldn't be too disappointed over losing out Zion for Ja Morant, but that'll be.
You don't think Durant's going? I feel like very, very confident that Durant's going to New York.
To the Knicks? Nah, I don't. I'm not confident in anything.
These guys, man, it's a different world now. You know, Like, I think him and Kyrie, I think the whole thing with Kyrie's walking back what he said earlier, and obviously it hasn't been a great year chemistry wise for the Celtics.
Jesus.
I think it's in the bag. I think you got them both.
Yeah, supposedly Durant's a real tight with I forget the Knicks assistant coach name. It escapes me right now, but yeah, supposedly they're real tight. But
if you got the two of them, you're already the third best team in the East, right?
Yeah.
And then, so, you know,
if they finally figured out, if you're gonna tank, go all the way. Don't do it like don't miss the playoffs by one or two games like Sacramento. I think that's why Vlade Divac got pissed off and he fired Jaeger because
he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you don't get the 15th pick. You either get the first, but yeah, you don't get the 12th pick and wind up with like a Nittla Keener or a Knox. You know, get one of the top two picks like the Sixers did all those years.
Yeah, that guy, Sam Presti, got axed for that. Not Sam Presti. I'm sorry. Gosh. The process
guy, yeah.
I can't think of his name. That's awful.
Oh, boy. But both of us at the same time. Hinkie.
But, yeah, that got him axed, too, and he gets to watch as this team's, like, the best young team in the NBA. But, before we're done with basketball, we haven't talked about this Porzingis thing. Look at the Knicks. Pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, huh?
In a way, it's a blessing that he's in Dallas because, like, we only heard about the story like one day and it kind of disappeared. If he had stayed in New York, it would have been like an ongoing story where every day in the news and the media. So I haven't really heard much about it since the story broke. So we'll see. It's innocent until proven guilty. I don't want to, speculate on that part too much. But supposedly they told Dallas that there was some kind of ongoing investigation. So they didn't really. It wasn't a thing where they hide it and they did a, they shammed Dallas. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Craziness in the NBA. Craziness.
Yeah.
Who's your final? What are your finals picks? We have to do that.
I think I already spit it. Philly and Golden State.
Who do you got?
Oh, unfortunately, Golden State, man. Yeah, the Warriors.
Yeah.
But before your picks, I meant to ask you, you took in a Pelicans game.
I did.
And it's good to see a franchise more horrendous than the Knicks. We haven't talked about Anthony Davis, who was a model citizen and all that. And now all of a sudden, he's giving the finger to fans. And,
It was a pretty sad state of affairs.
That's a sad situation
building.
When the guy is healthy and he doesn't play and they didn't even trade him.
So Katie
the GM
and I,
got axed over him. It's
Katie and I
situation.
We sat 10 rows behind the Pelicans bench for $27 each, the seats. So, I mean, these are in Boston, $500 seats. We saw Pelicans, Kings. Pelicans actually won the game. Davis was there in street clothes and could not have looked less interested if he tried. I spent a bit of time in the Pelicans team shop before the game. It's a beautiful, you've been in there. It's a beautiful building, and nice team shop. But all the Anthony Davis stuff in the team shop was 50% off.
Already marked down. Yeah, it's a shame. Our boy, we have some New Orleans representatives. We have some Pelicans fans. Our boy Jambalaya Jake, and last year he was.
I mean,
all
I give them credit for not trading him to the Lakers. Fuck him. I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal, and he tries to force his way out through the media. I mean, it was a really, really – I mean, he's a great player, too. He's just as good as Giannis and Harden and all these guys. I mean,
all they need is a nice pick and then sign – I mean, Randall's really emerged. He's on the verge of being an all-star, and you got Holiday. It's like they're not that far away.
They made the playoffs last year.
Thank you. And they won around. It's like, well, I hate that these guys just pussy out and they all just want to join the Warriors or whatever. It's just the.
Well, this is really blowing up in his face because he's not going to the Lakers now. I mean, the Celtics will give up the farm to get him, even if he says he won't re-sign, honestly. And you see, like, they did it. The Raptors did it with Kawhi. The OKC did it with Paul George and it worked, and bring him in and see what happens. But to have a guy, what is he, 25, 25 and last year over the second half of the year was very clearly the best player in the NBA. So it's, you know, not like a top 10 guy, not like a Kyrie Irving. Like, this is a guy who's like just as good as Kevin Durant and LeBron James and everything else to just toss away a season in his prime. It's not like he's like Ted Williams who had to go to Korea. You know, he just for no reason at all, decided, you know, I have 2 years left on my deal. I'm going to sign with LeBron's agent and try to force a trade. When he didn't realize that the owner there in New Orleans is a football owner, and it's the wife of the football owner, right? She does. He's under contract. Fuck him, right? They don't have to trade him.
And then they either don't play him or they only play him 20 minutes. It's just sad. You know, you want to take your kid to a game to see your best player if you're a Pelicans fan. And it's like, oh, you know, how do you explain to your kid that he's not playing or he's only playing 20 minutes? It's a sad state.
So the game we went to the game on Thursday, and Saturday was the Lakers. And we had looked at going to Lakers Pelicans, and the seats that I paid $27 for like $250. But then, like the day before the game, LeBron announced they shut LeBron down for the season, and Davis didn't play. So these poor fans who shelled out all this dough to go watch LeBron and the Lakers, friggin' $300 seats, get to watch, you know, two non-playoff teams. Right, where the best player on the court is, you know, nothing against it, but the best player on the court is Julius Randle.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
Yeah, brutal. I blame the Warriors. I'm sorry, we're a little all over the place. So what are your final picks?
I'm gonna be boring, unfortunately, and go with the 2-1s. But I am going to, and I'm gonna pick the Golden State to beat Milwaukee. But I'm gonna say in 7. I think Houston matches up really well to Golden State and could take them out. I think they have the best chance to take them out. They should have taken them out last year and shot whatever, some ridiculous 0-for-27 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza just missed another one. Yeah,
but I mean, they were still ahead in the game. Like, it's like,
but that's their game, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's threes and layups. If the threes don't go down, you're gonna get some ugly games like that. That's their game. I hate to say it, but you saw it in your game 7 with Terry Rozier and whatnot missing. You know, you got to take them no matter what, but when you miss them, you get games like that. You got to take those wide open threes. But
yeah, I think if Toronto could get there, I think they match up real well to the Warriors too. The Warriors don't have any depth this year. You know, I mean, their starting five, it's ridiculous, right? It's like a friggin' all-star team. It is an all-star team, especially with Cousins now, like actually looks like DeMarcus Cousins, but they don't have anything behind those guys. Like, you know, Iggy's got a fork sticking out of his back. They got nothing. They have essentially nothing behind those guys.
Yeah, they like brought Bogut back, and it's going to be
what the hell's he going to get? I mean, he was cooked 2 years ago.
Yeah, if you could take advantage of that fifth, that weak link, because that's what happened the 1 year that LeBron won it. He was being guarded by fucking Festus Ezeli, was guarding him late in the game.
Right, and well,
and he was
Cousins
able to take advantage.
Cousins isn't. You know, especially because he still isn't moving. He was never a really good defensive player, and he can't move. So you can score on him, and if you can they've got the thing where they've played all these games over all these years, and it's all the same guys, right? 100 games a year for 4 years in a row, and you know, if you can take them 7. You could, you know, you got a shot. You got a shot. Yeah. So I could see them losing. They're less. They feels less inevitable, but it's impossible to pick anybody else just because of that starting five.
And there were a couple games where like Cousins stopped the offense with his, you know, holding the ball for 20 minutes and back and that. But I think they'll clean that up for the playoffs though. And I don't see it. I really wanted to pick your boys to make the finals, but once Smart went down. I think like Kyrie is really going to step up and put everything behind him and step up and have a great playoff. But I was counting on Marcus as a big stopper of Giannis.
Yeah. And if they can somehow beat the Bucks without him, they would have him back. The Celtics play the Warriors really, really tough too. Every time they play them,
and Philly too. Yeah, but
so they can, you know, if they got there, they could beat him, but. It's a real, I mean, it's a great playoff because it doesn't feel quite as much like a foregone conclusion as I thought it was going to at the beginning of the year when they got Cousins and he came back and he looked. So you can at least see there's at least a possibility. I mean, they haven't looked invincible this year. Denver's not going to do it. That we can probably both agree.
Nah, yeah, I got him first round. You got him better than me, but I got him. Yeah, they're not ready yet.
But Houston matches up well, and then you have some teams in the East that match up well. So, I mean, you never know. OKC matches up pretty decent. I mean, I think we've seen that one before, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. It would be good for the rest of the league if the Clippers could take them six and start that stamina, start to move down that stamina needle for some of those guys.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's tough when you have like three of the best five players in the world out there at all times, you know. Anywho. So, John, I think we're gonna have to table baseball. Like we thought.
Let's do 2 minutes. Because,
2 minutes. All right. I'll give you 2 minutes.
We're talking,
that's what I hear every time.
Alonso just hit a friggin' bomb shot. Just hit a moon shot. And for the first time in a couple of years, I'm excited about baseball. I'm not saying my Mets, but at least they didn't trade like Pete Alonso for Chris Davis in the offseason. They got some youth. Jeff McNeil's looking good, so we got some youth on our team. But very quickly, I'll give a 2 minute baseball preview. In 2017, the World Series wasn't won in October. It was won at the trade deadline when the Dodgers traded for Yu Darvish, the Yankees traded for Sonny Gray, and Houston traded for Justin Verlander. They won the championship on that day. And this year, I think at the trade deadline, whoever trades for Madison Baumgartner is going to win the World Series. And unfortunately, it's going to be our hated the team that we hate. I think it's going to be the Yankees. I think that's why they saved they passed on Harper and Machado. I think they're going to trade for Baumgartner and sign him long term, and he's going to lead them.
I mean,
to
it's a great move if they do it. I mean, he's incredible.
That's the only thing they're missing to me. They got the offense, they got the bullpen. They're just missing that start, and I think that's what it's going to come down to, basically.
Yeah, and the Sox are off to a tough start here, but
I think they're
going to right the ship.
That was a shitty schedule, and I've never seen that before. I'm sure, but if you Boston guys haven't been celebrating 15 championships in the last 10 years, I'm sure you guys would have cried about it more. But that was a rough way to start the season. That was a rough road trip.
Yeah, and Sale just doesn't look quite right, but I think he'll round into form. So try not to get too worked up about the first few weeks of a baseball season. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, well, for Met fans, sometimes
that's the only week.
Yeah, that's the only weeks we can get worked up. But yeah,
there's a lot of young talent. I mean, he's a good player, and then you have Vlad Guerrero Jr. coming up, Acuna in Atlanta.
Oh,
Chad
those guys
Campbell's
on the.
Guy.
You know who's very impressive? Those guys on the Nationals are impressive. I can see why they passed
Soto
off Soto and Robles. Yeah, yeah, those two are going to be beasts.
Yeah, but Pete Alonso has been absolutely destroying me in my fantasy baseball game this week, unfortunately. So.
It just hit another one.
I know.
A bomb.
I know. I just checked my score, and I'm trying to keep up.
Chad Campbell.
Trying to keep up. I had Justin Smoke, who hit a 3-run bomb against the Red Sox. So that was like bittersweet. But anyway, we don't talk about that stuff too much here. But
can't avoid fantasy. I try to avoid it all year. I try to avoid it, folks, during football season, but and even during baseball, you can't avoid the fantasy.
I would argue that baseball is a game that even someone who doesn't like if you're not like a fantasy guy, like it's just inherently that's kind of how baseball is, right? Baseball.
No, it's so long. You have to.
No, and I can understand it with football because it's more of a team game. In baseball, I mean, it really is about, you know, like hitting 300, right? And how many home runs you hit.
Stats driven,
exactly. Anywho. So, John, we're going to try to make this at least a bi-weekly thing. I'd love to do weekly now that all my traveling's complete. But it's been great getting back together with you. We even read our we even did our advertising for the site, which our loyal listeners will know that was a first for me right there. I hope it sounded okay. And
yes, Cowboy. It was a great we just came off a great weekend, and if any, there was just one regret. We had different entertainment and transportation schedules that we didn't get to hang too much. So I'm glad we caught up here, and but plus we got a lot of episodes coming in the spring and summer. So we'll make
Well, we're getting together right at the beginning of May, right? For
plus money in the bank. We got plenty of hangs.
We have extreme rules. We got everything, John. You're gonna come play basketball with us. We've got two games in the books already.
Yeah, St. Mary's.
I've kept up with my physical. That I was telling you after New Year's, on telling the listeners that I had turned over a new leaf and taken up physical fitness. I've kept up with that, so the basketball games have been good. I feel like Charles Barkley down there a little bit. You'll have to knock me off my high horse.
You and Ryder are becoming jiu-jitsu warriors. I'm going to hire you guys as bodyguards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's got a nice belt. So, for our listeners, if you ever get a chance to take a 9-year-old who's really into wrestling to WrestleMania, you got to do it. This kid put a smile on my face all weekend with how happy he was. So it was good stuff. I did not get to hang quite as much with the late night crew as normal, but it was well worth it to see happiness in the eyes of the child. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah, made up for the rumble flu, unfortunately. Sickness weekend.
Yes, yes, good. But very good. So we'll be back next week, hopefully. Listeners, please shoot us a message in the chats or shoot us a message individually if you want us to talk about some other stuff. We watch all sports. I don't watch hockey, so if you want hockey,
the Bruins
one man show
it's a good
for John.
It's a good thing you don't watch hockey. The Bruins just did it.
But boxing, UFC...
It's so sad when a Boston team loses.
If one has to lose, that's the one I would pick. Since I don't give a shit about it.
Just broke Scott Friscolo's heart.
It's okay. Me and Scotty are good. So for Mr. D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy. We're out of here. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, brother. Peace.